The word today is new. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. Heaven, as described by the Bible, will be an utterly different experience than life on earth now. Imagine living in an environment where there is no sorrow, death, or suffering. What an exciting thought to dwell on. Here to share more about heaven is Bible educator Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, New.
Most of us like things that are new. New is often a lot better. Take, for instance, clocks. Over the decades, clocks have become much more precise, much more light. You can wear them on your wrist. You have one on your phone. Speaking of phones used to be things that were really heavy and sat on a wall originally or a desk. Now we carry them in our pocket. Cars have gone from being kind of clunky, slow things to being streamlined and get you there faster and go farther. Drugs. Initially, herbs were the only things that people could use, and now we have formulations of drugs that do amazing things to help keep us alive and healthy. New is fantastic. The problem is we're working with a world that's wearing out. We have to have some solution to that and to the fact that our own bodies are wearing out. How do we get around that? What's the answer? Well, in Revelation chapter 21, John the Apostle is given, among other visions, a glimpse of the New Jerusalem, as it's called, which is symbolic for heaven. And there's a big theme with this New Jerusalem and heaven. And that is that everything is going to be made new. Here's what it sounds like in Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. That's just a fantastic scene. And you can almost catch the happiness and the joy of the Lord as he's pronouncing from his throne, I'm going to make everything new. It's so much to his glory, so much to his honor to be able to restore a sin-ravaged world and to place his believers in heaven and to give them a whole new existence with him. It's a very exciting idea to consider heaven and the freshness of it all. Well, this is what motivates a lot of people in Jesus Christ to endure day by day and to keep pressing toward the finish line of faith, so to speak. We live in a corrupted world, and sin has done its best to ravage it. But thanks be to God that through Jesus Christ, the Lord is going to make it new for us again. We take a look at this image in Revelation 21. There's an analogy of a new Jerusalem. And it's important that you understand that in the Bible, Jerusalem is imaged as kind of God's city, God's town, as it were. David, the second king of Israel, moved the Ark of the Covenant, one of the most holy relics this world has ever seen, to the city of Jerusalem, and then his son Solomon built a magnificent temple in which the Ark of the Covenant was housed. Jerusalem was intended to be a holy city in every respect. It was not only the location of the temple and the Ark of the Covenant, but the citizens were also supposed to reflect a holiness and a purity of God. They were supposed to live with God in their midst, and they were supposed to reflect that glory and purity in their daily lives. Well, imagine how much more the Christian is supposed to reflect the purity and the holiness of God when we not only have had Jesus Christ come to dwell with mankind, but now we're told in the New Testament that the very Spirit of God dwells in the hearts and minds of believers. Well, I would love to spend a lot more time talking about that, but back to this analogy of the New Jerusalem, it's to be a place of safety and security. And very clearly in the book of Revelation, as elsewhere in the New Testament, it's pointed out that the wicked, the defiant, the arrogant, the unrepentant, the disbeliever will not make it into heaven. It calls for a direct turning from sin, turning from disbelief, making up your mind that you're going to subjugate yourself to Jesus Christ, that he will be your Lord. That is the call. In fact, in Revelation, it also teaches us that there will be no wicked. It says in verse 8 of this same chapter, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. It's obviously threatening condemnation, damnation from God, if you refuse, if you reject, if you will not repent of your sin and disbelief. He lays it right out there for you. But back to heaven. Heaven is going to be a terrific paradise. It's described as pretty much like a recreation of Eden, the first paradise that God had planned for man. In fact, within this city of the New Jerusalem, in this vision, there is the river of the water of life, as it's called, and there's also the tree of life. These symbols take us right back to Genesis, where the Bible starts with mankind and God in perfect harmony before sin destroys this. And so there is an invitation that is issued that everyone is invited to come to receive this gift. I'd like to talk about the inclusivity versus exclusivity of heaven and of Christianity. We live in a world today that is really pushing this popular notion of inclusivity. In the Olympics, we saw two kinds of inclusion that were discussed. One is physical, where Paralympians, individuals who may have lost limbs and similar, are now being welcomed into world-class athletic events. Fantastic. No one has an issue with this. But there was also a big emphasis on sexual and lifestyle inclusivity, which the Christian has to say, we're sorry. Homosexuality is not accepted. It's not the norm. And it's not going to be a lifestyle that will be acknowledged and received into heaven. Let's be direct about things. God is not going to allow into heaven wickedness and perversion and things that go directly against the created order that he has made. Heaven will be exclusive, especially in terms of the means by which people are saved. As we're taught very clearly in the scriptures, there is no other name under heaven by which people can be saved other than Jesus Christ. Jesus says very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We could trot out another half dozen passages very easily to demonstrate the authority of Jesus and his being the only way. But lest Christians be condemned or chastised for being exclusivist, you need to understand that the invitation is universal. All humans have been invited to come to Jesus Christ. All people are offered the forgiveness of God in Jesus. There are no exceptions. Anybody who has been living a carnal, worldly life, anybody who has been in darkness and ignorance, they are all called to listen to Jesus Christ, to come to him, to receive this free gift. God will not deny you if you sincerely repent of your sin, as the gospel demands, and call upon Jesus Christ as your Lord. He will receive you. He will call you his child. He will give you the certainty and the assurance of life everlasting. This should fill us with great joy. I really can't think of a more fantastic future than to think about what God has offered us in Jesus Christ. We will be able to share eternal life and glory with God. This is something that should give us motivation through all the difficult times, all the trying experiences, all the pain that we might endure emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically. All of this should drive us to long for heaven, to wait for it, because God will make everything new. It's going to be a completely new experience, completely sin-free. It's going to be completely joyous, and the best part is that we will be able to share it with the man who made it all possible, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Just think about it and roll that image around in your mind of a beautiful, blissful experience with God. Don't you want that? The invitation is there for you. Come to the Lord Jesus. Receive him. Put your faith and future in his hands, and you will have the gift of eternal life.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the free booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Spirit. The birth of the church was a miraculous event when God sent the Holy Spirit to those first disciples, and their lives were changed forever. That same life-changing power is available today to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.